So today is Pentecost. There's a clue in the name itself, which is to do with 50. It is 50 days after, not after Easter Day, that's 49, 50 days after the Passover Sabbath. Pentecost was a Jewish festival and a kind of harvest festival for them. And so just as for us Christians, Easter has replaced Passover, so Pentecost stands on top of a Jewish festival. During those 50 days, as we've been hearing in our gospel readings, the disciples saw Jesus several times, but still, despite this, they hid away in locked rooms, afraid of being arrested, afraid of what might happen to them if they were discovered as followers of Jesus. But then, on this, the 50th day, they went out into the streets, into the marketplace, preaching and praising God. Something strange had happened to them, which caused the crowd to say, they've drunk too much wine. And so that's my theme today, is being under the influence. The crowd are mocking, of course. They didn't really think they were drunk, I don't suppose. They were saying, what's got into them? They're so different, so changed, talking nonsense like this. But mockery, although it may pervert the truth, often has some important bearing upon the reality. So what was it about the disciples' behaviour that made them look as though they were under the influence, intoxicated, drunk? I guess most of us here have probably experienced that ourselves at some point in our lives, or at least you know enough of other people's behaviour to know what it's like. Symptoms of being under the influence: an uncharacteristic boldness, loss of inhibition, heightened sensation, a wild, heady feeling. I suspect the disciples experienced all of those that first Pentecost. But above all, they acted out of character. These are the same disciples who persistently misunderstood Jesus' teaching, who fled at his arrest, who hid behind locked doors after his death. And suddenly here they are, preaching confidently and fluently in the marketplace amongst a crowd of many nationalities. You can well imagine the crowd asking, can these be the same people? What's happened to them? What's got into them? Clearly, for us, what has got into them is the Holy Spirit. But just before we get to that, I'd like to take a step back and say, I think this tells us something important about human nature, the condition of being human. We are, as humans, subject to all sorts of influences. We see changes brought about in human behaviour by external influences, like when we're with friends, we behave in a certain way. When we're with people we don't like, we behave in a different kind of way. We can see people go off the rails when they're getting with the wrong crowd. We know the power of peer pressure. We behave differently when we're in love, when we're jealous, when we're nervous, when we're stressed, or when we're on show in public. Any of these can make us behave in ways in such that we're not quite our usual selves. They may make us sadder or happier, more confident or more shy, better or worse, but they change our behaviour. This doesn't make for a smooth ride through life. We all have ups and downs at different times in our lives because we are subject to all these influences around us. But this is what makes us human, unlike rocks or statues, which just don't change, or they're always the same, whereas we're changeable. And because of this, because we're open to external influences, That means we can be touched by art, novels, music, films. We can be moved to pity and compassion when we see other people in need. We can love and be loved. And we can be touched by God because of this. That's the change we see in the disciples at Pentecost. They are under the influence, not of wine, but of God through the Holy Spirit. And if we follow that analogy of being drunk, they haven't just had a sip of the Holy Spirit, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, a whole bottle full. So the crowd mocked, but there was something important in their observation, that the disciples were acting as if they were filled with new wine. But there were plenty of important differences too with that analogy. St. Paul also took this up as a contrast between the influence of wine and the influence of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." And I think we can see the difference between wine and the Spirit, most particularly in the long-term effects. Short-term, on the day of Pentecost, the difference may have been quite small. I'm sure the disciples were full of euphoria, as if they were intoxicated that day. And just imagine what would happen if after church we went out behaving as if we were intoxicated with wine. That would get people talking. They might even want to see what was going on in church. But the real contrast comes in the lasting effects, as I say. With alcohol, we know what happens the next morning after we've had too much the night before. We also know if you drink too much wine over a long period of time, how destructive that is to the body, to your whole lives. But if we're filled with the Spirit, that is, if we allow ourselves to live under the influence of God, day after day, year after year, then we will begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit, which St. Paul says is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Alcohol can make us act out of character, but very often, in a bad way, when we're under the influence of alcohol, we can say and do things we might regret later. The Holy Spirit, too, has the power to transform our behaviour, but in a good way, bringing out the very best in us, bringing out qualities which we didn't even know we had inside us. We see it with the disciples. After Pentecost, they finally became the people that Jesus always knew they could be. They fulfilled the potential he saw in them, which they hadn't even believed in themselves. For me, this change in the disciples is the most powerful evidence of the resurrection. The empty tomb raises questions, but doesn't prove anything. Likewise, Jesus' appearances to the disciples. Those who were skeptical might say, well, surely they could just be hallucinations. In any case, Jesus only appeared to those who believe in him. So why should we believe them? They're biased. But without the resurrection and without the Holy Spirit coming upon the disciples, it's very hard to explain how 11 incompetent, dispirited men could start a worldwide religion which would spread across the whole of the Mediterranean world and beyond within a generation. So Pentecost was the beginning of the church, sometimes described as the church's birthday. And we're here today to celebrate that birthday. We celebrate too that the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples is with us still, with us now, in our church today. I see it, as I mentioned earlier, all the time in the curates as I see them grow through their training. Despite their fears, they're prepared to take risks and step into the unknown. Almost always, curates begin their curacy by saying, "I wouldn't dare take a funeral. I can't imagine doing that." And yet they do, and they grow into it. And it's wonderful to see that transformation. They discover in themselves gifts they didn't even believe were there. They don't become different people, but through the building up of the Holy Spirit, they become more truly themselves. It's true for each one of us. Maybe you've experienced that. You've taken on some role in church you didn't think you could do, but you took that step of faith, that risk, and found you grew into it and discovered something more about yourself. The fruits of the Spirit are not alien qualities. They're not something put into us which we haven't got already. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We all have those, even before we become a Christian. We have those. The virtues are all within ourselves. But human nature is flawed. And even with our very best efforts, we produce a mixed harvest of good fruits and bad. However hard we try to be good, we always fail. But if we invite God's Spirit to live in us, to dwell in us, to change us from the inside, then gradually he will weed out the worst in us and nurture the best in us. The more something gets inside us, the stronger its influence on us. I have a powerful allergic reaction to certain insect bites. My whole arm can grow puffy and red and hot. And yes, I can put antihistamine cream on the arm, but that has very limited effect. Whereas if I take an antihistamine pill, the medicine gets into my body system through the bloodstream, it has a much more powerful effect. So it is with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gets inside us and works within us, in our bloodstream, as it were, then he restores us to our best and most healthy selves. So today and every day, let's ask God to send us his Holy Spirit, to fill us, to dwell deep down within us, working within our souls for good. I'll end with a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to live under your influence. Fill us with that wild excitement we see on the day of Pentecost, that our worship may be full of joy. But more than that, live in us. Strengthen our faith and deepen our trust. Give us that peace which the world can never give. And as you live in us, may we come to bear your good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, so that people around us may see the difference your love has made to us, and so that your love may overflow from us to those around us. Come, Holy Spirit, and make your home within us, and dwell with us forever. Amen.